You're listening to The Voyager in association with Turkish Airlines on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to The Voyager on Monocle 24, Monocle's travel show spotlighting outposts of opportunity for business, pleasure and inspiration all around the world. I'm Steve Bloomfield. This week we head to Buenos Aires, where your guide is Victoria Averill.
Welcome to Buenos Aires, Argentina's capital city that oozes the European influences of its immigrant founders. From its grand concert halls to a lively cafe culture. So much so that I often feel I'm in Madrid or Rome, rather than a South American metropolis. But behind the opulent facades, it can seem like Buenos Aires is held together by gaffer tape, the result of a wave of homemade economic crises that have forced the city's so-called porteño residents to become a resilient bunch. Right now, the economy is in trouble again, and many here hope a presidential election will set the country on a new, more investor-friendly path. Even so, with its luxury boutiques, countless outdoor restaurants, and thriving art scene, this city of 10 million refuses to lie still. First stop, and I brought you to San Telmo, the oldest barrio in Buenos Aires, home to dock workers and manual labourers back in the 17th century. Now it's a thriving mix of curated bohemian and busy inner city suburb. And I'm wandering along the cobbled streets past art galleries, antique shops. And I'm making my way up to Plaza Dorrego, the main square full of market stalls. You can just begin to make out the sound of that melancholic music that defines Buenos Aires, the tango. Tango began as a sultry encounter, danced by those dock workers I mentioned and ladies of the night. It's a sombre dance that can be laden with flirtatious suggestion, but which I sometimes feel takes itself a little too seriously. But it's time for a coffee, and here the porteños love their coffee culture. Any hour of the day is merienda or snack time. For breakfast, a café con leche, a milky coffee with a couple of media lunas, a sweeter, doughier version of the French croissant. In the afternoons, it's slabs of bread smothered in jam, or the famous dulce de leche, a caramel, toffee-like spread. But despite this amazing café culture, finding a really good coffee is a tall order. For a real cup of coffee, ground from the cream of South America's coffee beans, make a beeline for Coffee Town, in the throbbing heart of San Telmo Market.
I'm José Vales, a coffee roaster, barista, and coffee specialist.
Well, one of the things I really love about your coffee shop here in the middle of San Telmo Market is one of the blackboards that says, coffee is a religion. It's like you're on a bit of a mission to spread the love of coffee throughout Argentina and influence people's tastes a bit.
In a country where football is the religion, actually saying that coffee is a religion is almost revolutionary. It's like saying it's utopia. We're always talking about utopia. It's no coincidence we're right in the heart of San Telmo Market, the most porteño place in Buenos Aires, and we've set up here underneath the cupola in the market. And the idea is, right, let's start trying to change how the Argentines drink coffee. So we set off on this mission pretty slowly, and it does seem to be working. Argentines responding quite well to what we're doing. They actually like what they're tasting. It makes us very happy that people see and appreciate what we're doing is different.
I've had a lovely kind of brandy glass of coffee put in front of me to try here at Coffee Town. So we've moved on from the espressos, and we're now trying some of the pure coffee from the single estate coffee from Yemen. If you're to go to one of the famous cafes like Tortoni, just down the road here, and you sit down and have a coffee, what are you going to be drinking?
Son cafés muy famosos, muy tradicionales.
These cafes are very, very traditional, very old and beautiful and full of history. Café Tortoni is where Jorge Luis Borges, García Lorca, the Spanish poet, and countless other intellectuals and politicians used to go when they lived in Buenos Aires. They're the kind of café you find all over the world. You go to them for their historical, architectural, and cultural value. You don't go to them to find a good cup of coffee. But what we're interested in here is the quality of the coffee, the primary ingredient.
You've worked and traveled a lot and worked in Mexico, Colombia, and various other places. What is it actually like starting a business in Argentina, in Buenos Aires? I mean, it's so difficult importing things into the country. There are so many controls here. You have huge inflation. What's it like starting a business and running a business here?
Es muy difícil, muy desgastante.
It's very difficult and it's very stressful, but you have to take into account the idiosyncrasies of Argentina. How does an Argentine speak? How do they express themselves? When they start talking, they say no. The first word you hear is a no. Nobody says something is great, they say it's bad. Everything begins with a negative. So in some ways, yes, I would think twice about starting a business here, but more because of what is happening and could happen economically in Argentina. This is the downside of this country. But the upsides are that it's a beautiful country and there are many things that make it all worthwhile.
One of those economic problems is a vibrant currency black market. And you'll see it in action here on Caché Florida. You can hear the voices around me shouting cambio, cambio, which means change. Argentines have no faith in their peso currency, which has suffered repeated devaluations. This explains their love affair with the dollar. For tourists, the black market makes holidays cheaper. But for Argentines, it's a disaster. I've just jumped on a train from Retiro station in the city centre, and I'm heading out to a barrio called Colegiales, where there's a colourful street art scene. We're going to find a very different cityscape to the leafy boulevards and houseman-inspired architecture we've left behind in Recoleta, which earned Buenos Aires the moniker the Paris of the South.
Pack your bags, get ready for takeoff, and let Turkish Airlines take you on a journey to more than 270 destinations in over 100 countries around the world. With a fleet of more than 285 state-of-the-art aircraft, no destination is too far. Turkish Airlines, widen your world.
See what I mean about his style being very distinctive. And this is a really kind of good showcase as well of sort of how he paints. He paints in sort of three stages. And the first stage being that historically, I mean, there's always been this kind of usage of the streets. In the 50s, politicians began using, paying people to write political propaganda for them in the streets. We're coming up to elections now and you'll start to see walls, just like the turnover of walls coming up to elections that's being used by politicians and political parties to advertise themselves and to get across messages or whatever. Is just, it's going to be insane. Like when graffiti arrived here in the 90s, it wasn't really that big of a deal. You know, nobody freaked out because they were like, well, the governments are already doing this and have been doing this for 50 years. So, you know, if there's kids riding in the street, like, who cares? And also after 2001, when people started to protest against the financial crisis and everything that had happened, I mean, that transformed the public space into this space that could be used by Argentines to protest, you know, to not take things lying down. Argentines are very kind of sensitive to this idea of repression as well, because of, you know, these successive dictatorships. So this is actually a commission for a media company. So you can see that he's incorporated lots of different media here as well, like newspapers, typewriters, TVs here.
You're a trained architect. I mean, how would you describe how the street art fits in architecturally and in a design way, I guess, in the city of Buenos Aires?
I mean, the architecture in Buenos Aires certainly is very schizophrenic. And I think it reflects, it's sort of almost like a physical manifestation of kind of trying identity in a lot of ways, that a kind of Gifrentina sort of stuck in this kind of like identity limbo. And I think the architecture of Buenos Aires sort of reflects that as well. You've got like so many different styles, you've got so many different periods, you know, you've got the different grains and different rhythms, you know, all over the city, and they're very lax planning laws as well, that you can pretty much do whatever you want. But in terms of street art, it means that there are a lot more spaces, and because there's no defined physical identity, it kind of frees up the artists, I think, to play and to interact a lot more with them, with the spaces.
Public space is one of the joys of Buenos Aires that the porteños fully embrace. When the sun comes out, parks, pavement cafes and steakhouses, known locally as parrillas, are packed. Meat is an obsession here. I've walked past workmen fixing the road whilst barbecuing in an old oil barrel, kids playing football in the street at midnight, and competitive chess tournaments in the botanical gardens. As Silvele, a young Brazilian who I met on the graffiti tour, tells me, this is pretty unusual for a Latin American city.
I live in São Paulo, I love my city, but Buenos Aires, it's the way that, for me, the way that the people enjoy the day-to-day, it's quite amazing, and I don't have that in São Paulo. And it's not because of the routine, work, home, it's not because of that. I think that people in São Paulo do not enjoy the day and to be outside and do something outside as they enjoy here in Buenos Aires. This is quite interesting, and that's what I'm personally being passionate about the city, which is, yeah, very, very interesting.
In a moment, we'll be visiting one of the city's best-loved bookshops. But first, here's Monocle's top five list of things to do in Buenos Aires.
Gracias a la vida.
Firstly, walk. It's the best way to see the central sites, including the presidential palace, the Casa Rosada, where Evita, Perón, and Maradona address the crowd from the famous balcony. Two, Cacha Milonga, a free and public tango session, often held in park bandstands. Three, head to a typical steakhouse called a parrilla and see how much of the cow you can stomach for lunch. Wash it down with a glass of Malbec, and follow up with mate tea. Four, engage a porteño on football. You'll hear about the bitter Boca Juniors River Plate rivalry, but you'll also discover what a religion football truly is here. And five, head to the stunning Malba Art Gallery, home to works by famous Latin American artists such as Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. I've come to the Ateneo Gran Splendid, Buenos Aires' most well-known bookstore, and it is a pretty amazing place to house books. It used to be a theatre, and opened back in 1919, and then about 15 years ago was converted into this wonderful space. I'm standing up on the top level of the theatre. There are three floors, and the books are stacked against the curve of the walls of the theatre. And if you look up, there's a beautiful fresco on the ceiling, painted by an Italian artist. And down below me, where the stage would be, there are still the burgundy curtains and a little cafe where people can go and get their books and sit down and read with a coffee.
Me llamo Juan Pablo Loreto. Tengo 23 años. Estudié periodismo.
My name's Juan Pablo Loreto. I'm 23 years old and a communication student. I come here because it's such a special place. It really makes you want to read and connect with books. I feel like I'm in my own house, but surrounded by thousands of books. Everything you could possibly want to be read is here.
Why does Argentina have such a strong association with literature and so many bookshops scattered around the city?
Here in Latin America, even though people have tried to suppress us, it's thanks to our book culture that we've managed to keep on learning and growing. We've managed to keep our bookshops alive because they give us a place to feed our knowledge. I'd never buy a book online to read on my computer, but it's a cultural thing. I'd rather have the smell of the books and all the other associations of going to a physical bookshop.
y quiero adquirir ese conocimiento, sí lo compraría, pero en realidad obviamente prefiero mucho más el olor y todo lo que conlleva tener un libro físicamente.
When you're walking around the city, you'll notice the huge number of bookshops attached to cafes, to wine shops, anywhere that's conducive to reading. And the reason why Buenos Aires supposedly has more bookshops per person than any other city in the world. And talking of places to eat and drink, the choices are endless. I love to start my day at Voltaire, a chic-friendly cafe in Palermo. For lunch, grab a pavement-side table at Brasserie Biela in Recoleta. A pre-dinner cocktail, lovingly crafted, at La Floreria never disappoints, before dinner at a new bistro Uco. Now it's midnight, and whilst my head tells me to head home, the porteños are just getting started. Perhaps one last glass of wine and some folk music from Argentina's northern Salta region at La Peña del Colorado. So that's it from Buenos Aires, a city that despite its tumultuous past and uncertain economic future, continues to push forwards and live for the day. For Monocle in Buenos Aires, I'm Victoria Avril.
And that's all for this week's edition of The Voyager. My thanks to Victoria Avril in Buenos Aires and Toby Hammond here in London. Next week, we're heading to the Philippines and its capital, Manila. Do join us then. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Until we board the Voyager again, happy travels.